Struggle. Everyone has struggles. Everyone. Some people are really good at hiding their struggles deep down. Others, not so much. And some days are truly good days. But sooner or later, our struggles catch up. What do we do? Is there any hope for real life change? God, is there good news for my struggle?
This seems to be a huge success. He draws the attention of Israel away from Baal towards God. It seems that Israel begins to have this newfound awe of God. And Jezebel, she's pretty angry because she is a huge worshiper of Baal. These are her prophets. In 1 Kings 18, it says, all the prophets who sat at Jezebel's table. And so this is why she's so angry. But we see Elijah coming off this huge success, but and then we see some opposition. Opposition arises, and he takes off. Sometimes we are faced with opposition. And opposition can sometimes push us into what I call a wilderness. It can cause us to seclude ourselves from the rest of the world. Have you ever been there? That's exactly what Elijah does in this story. He withdraws himself into the wilderness. In verse 3, he leaves his servant in Beersheba, and he secludes himself away from everyone else. And what happens is while Elijah is alone, he begins to show signs of despair, signs of depression, signs of breaking down. He goes off by himself, and in verse 4, he pleads with God to take his life. He says, I am no better than my ancestors. He sees himself as worthless. Elijah has lost sight of his value. Sometimes in life, we can lose sight of our value, and we can begin to see ourselves as less than who we are. Depression causes people to struggle with identity. I know this because I've been there. We begin to see ourselves in a different light from who we are in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are a child of God, and that means you have value. You have been bought and paid for. But there is an enemy who don't want us to believe this at times. And sometimes we believe this with everything inside of us. And then there's those times where we have those little slips in our lives and we start getting these little voices that tell us other than that. Well, you belong to God, the Creator. Scripture says you have been signed, sealed with the Holy Spirit and ready for delivery. This is the message of the gospel. Everyone has value. And that's why God sent Jesus, our Redeemer. If you're not in Christ, I want you to know you have a Redeemer too, who gave his life so that you may be set free. I was there too. Before I came in Christ, the Redeemer wasn't for me. He was for y'all. Until someone gave me this message. In verse 5, we see that Elijah is not left alone. God meets Elijah in the midst of his struggle. God gives Elijah food and water. God provides for Elijah. He didn't just leave him alone. God provides for Elijah in the midst of his struggle. Do you hear that? While he was struggling, God provided for him. God cares for Elijah. He has compassion for Elijah. He didn't leave him alone. Deuteronomy 31:6 says that God will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you. God does not forsake his children. If you ever find yourself in a valley, God will meet you and comfort you right where you are. Sometimes in our brokenness, we can feel that God is far from us. But the Bible says he will never forsake you. Hold true to that. When you struggle with depression, when you struggle with despair, allow God to comfort you in your struggle. Do not shut him out. Sometimes I think we can kind of push God, but he's right there. We feel that he's far away, but he's right there. God is at work restoring his creation. He wants to restore you in your brokenness. In your brokenness, God wants to restore you. He doesn't just leave you as you are. In your struggles, God reaches out to you. He will never shut you out. In verse 9, we see God reaching out to give Elijah counsel. He says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God calls him by name. Verse 11 says that when God passed by Elijah, there was an earthquake, fire, and wind. This is how you would expect an all-powerful God to pass by. But when he spoke with a gentle voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God was gentle with Elijah. This question shows us that God was concerned for him, and he met Elijah where he was. He didn't wait for Elijah to come to him. God went to Elijah. This tells us that God saw value in Elijah. If your child falls down, do you wait for them to come to you, or do you go and pick them up off the ground like a loving parent? This is what we see with God and Elijah. The same for us. Elijah was struggling. Elijah was in a valley, but God was there to restore him. If we back up to verse 8, we see that by giving Elijah food, God gave him strength to continue his journey. God was helping Elijah through his struggle. When you are in the valley of despair, turn your eyes to God, and he will give you strength to live another day. That's what he was doing for Elijah. He gave him food and water through the angel of the Lord twice, not once, but twice. And one of those days was for a 40-day and 40-night journey. God was helping Elijah through his struggle. When you are in the valley of despair, sometimes we think there's no help out there. There's no one for us to turn to. It's just me and my problems. Me in this dark, dark valley. Even when you feel you have nothing left in you, when you feel you can't go any further, God can carry you through your struggles. Well, someone may say, that's hard to believe. That's really hard to believe. I'm struggling right now, and where is God? We hear this a lot. We see the natural disasters. We see what's going on in our world today. And maybe there's some people out there saying, where is God? I'm struggling. Well, let's read on. In verse 10, we see the real source of Elijah's struggle. Elijah is burdened by the Israelites. In his mind, he's the only prophet of God left. He doesn't have the best outlook on his future. He sees his future as one of destruction. And in his mind, death is coming for him. He has lost all hope. This is a prophet of God, one who has fought many battles, one who knows the power of God, who's struggling with this. We also see that Elijah is burdened by something that belongs to God. That's the source. Israel's rejection of God was not for Elijah to carry. Israel was not Elijah's problem to fix. Sometimes we face battles in this world that are out of our control. But we want to be David against Goliath. Who helped David in that battle? Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to care. That's not what that means. It simply means that God is sovereign. God being in control allows us not to carry burdens that are too heavy for us to handle. God being in control allows us to be the vessels that he works through. It's his work, not ours. We just get to be the hands and the feet that he uses. He wants to carry that load. He wants to carry that burden. The outcome belongs to him, not us. And so when we're facing something and we want things to go our way, just remember this, the outcome belongs to God. Let him handle that. Sometimes as Christians, we want to carry the burdens of this world. But that's not our position. That belongs to Christ. Our job is not to fix the brokenness of this world. Our job is to love those who have been broken by this world and point them to Christ. And so the good news is when we begin to look at things from that perspective, we began to experience joy and peace that we get to be a part of the work. We don't have to fix all the problems. Because the struggle belongs to Christ. Because God sent Christ to restore this world to his rightful order. And that's the hope in our struggle. God is still at work and he is not finished with you. If you're struggling, God is not finished with you. You're not in the valley alone. We may feel that we're alone in the valley, but we're not. He will see his work through until completion. If he started a work in you, what the scripture says, he will see it through. Earlier we spoke of how God saw Elijah, he saw his value, and how he was in the process of restoring him. In verse 15, we see that God was not finished with Elijah. Elijah may have given up, but God had not given up on him. Even though Elijah was struggling with despair and struggling with his value, God still had work for Elijah. He wanted him to anoint a king over Syria and a king over Israel. And he also wanted him to anoint God's next prophet. Through Elijah, God was raising up a new generation of believers. Elijah didn't realize that God had a purpose for him, and that that purpose was greater than what he can see. And it was greater than anything that he had ever done, because God was going to continue his work, because he was working through Elijah. God had plans for Elijah that was far beyond what he can see. Sometimes God has plans for us that's far beyond what we can see, far beyond what we understand. We never know what God is doing through us. You never know what God is doing through you at your workplace with that one person you have the opportunity to speak to and show them the love of Christ and show them through your actions, not just your words, through your actions, who Christ is. Even when you're struggling with depression, you are still being used by God. God had preserved 7,000 Israelites who had not turned away from God. In verse 18, we see that Elijah was not alone. He thought he was alone. He thought he was the only prophet left. But God had preserved a remnant. You're not alone. There's a body in this world. Lean upon them. The first thing we learn is that God comforts us in our struggles. This is what we learn from Elijah's story. We learn two things. And that first thing is God comforts us in our struggles. In Christ, there is comfort in our struggles. If you are in Christ, this does not mean you are free from struggling. That don't mean that you're free and you won't go through these things. It doesn't mean that you will not have despair. This does not mean that you will not battle with depression. This simply means that God will meet you in your struggles. When you are in Christ, you no longer have to struggle alone. That's the good news. In Joshua 1:9, God gave Joshua these words: "Do not be discouraged, For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Whatever situation you are in, who's with you? God. Sometimes we can't see that because we're used to solving our problems. We have to be the problem solvers. And that can be challenging for us. I know for myself, that can be a challenge. These words apply to us as well. When you find yourself in a valley of depression, God is with you. You don't have to struggle alone. There are times that God will send people your way, just like the angel of the Lord came to Elijah and provided what Elijah needed during his time of struggle. God will send help your way to provide what you need in the midst of your journey. Sometimes we can try to shove people off, but God is actually placing them in our life to help us through our struggles. You may withdraw yourself from everyone, but God will meet you where you are. You can't hide from him. I found myself at times trying to push God away. Where God, I've been trying. I just don't feel like you're helping me. But guess what? I can give you some good news. He didn't just leave me right there in my despair. He met me where I was. And I was so thankful for that afterwards. I didn't have to go through my struggles alone. Sometimes, we just ask him. We call him. I know it may be hard. And he will do the rest. This leads me to my second point. God will never give up on you. When depression begins to pull you down, God can comfort you. When you feel that you have nothing else to live for, God will continue to pursue you. God sees value in you, even when you can't see it yourself. Even when you feel undeserving, God wants to restore you. Each and every last person who is listening to me right now, here's the good news. You have value. You are here because God wants a relationship with you. You are wanted and loved by God. I just want to say, if you are struggling with depression or if you are struggling with anything, you don't have to go through this alone. He has placed you amongst these believers, and he is with you. The battle belongs to God. There's an old school church song. So I grew up in Detroit. So there's an old school church song that it goes, "The battle is not yours." I used to listen to that too a lot when I was younger. My mom, she used to play that. "The battle is not yours. What are you talking about?" You know? And now, as I am older and I face certain situations in my life, I truly know what that means. Seek God for help. Seek help from the people God has placed around you, because the battle is not yours to face alone. You are not alone. You don't have to believe the lies of the enemy. You don't have to struggle on your own. There is hope in the midst of our struggle. And if you don't remember anything I said today, remember this. Jesus struggled on your behalf so that you may have life. And on the third day, what did he do? He rose so that you will have that life forever. That's right. Because you have value, you are wanted, and you are loved by God, the Creator. I'm going to pray us out of here. And as the worship team comes up, I just want us to think about this today. Take a few moments to just think about all the stresses and the worries that we have in this world, that we have in our daily lives. And I want us to just think about how God gives us strength that is far beyond anything that we can understand. Sometimes we struggle to get out of the bed in the morning. We struggle to go about our daily tasks. And if that's something that you face day to day, this prayer is for you. Father, Lord, you are seated above everything that we tend to struggle and wrestle with. You are seated on your throne, and the earth is your footstool. Lord, we struggle. There's a lot of us struggling down here. Depression, fear, anxieties. You said if we would just cast our worries and our cares upon you, you would give us rest. We want that rest today, Father. We want to come as your children into your arms before your throne room. You have torn the veil, and now we have that access to you, Father. And so we thank you for this. Help us in our struggles. For those who are struggling with depression, those who struggle to get out of bed in the morning, those who struggle to go to work the next day, those who struggle to be a loving parent, help us in our struggles, Father. Send us godly people who will come alongside of us, who will love us. Help us to be godly people who will come alongside our brothers and sisters who are struggling in the midst of despair. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.